We do have to give the disclaimer again. You got to check it in the description box.
You guys are gonna have to calm yourselves. You're all gonna have to calm yourselves because he's in the building. He's got a new boat called the Koru that's been under wraps for quite some time, and he's ready to make its first appearance. And he's got a new love in his life. We want to talk to him all about, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Bezos. Well, thanks for coming, Jeff.
Thank you for having me.
It's so good to see you.
Oh, it's so good to be here. It's so good to be back.
You have a glow about you, I must say.
Wow. Is it always like this on set here?
I think everyone's just a little starstruck.
Wow. This is crazy. This is chaotic. It's so flattering to be here. I feel so welcome. I can't believe it's like this every time.
That's a trillionaire mindset welcome for you.
Yeah, truly.
And I think everyone's ecstatic over the news.
Me too.
Can we tell them? I know you're a very private person, but can we tell the world?
Go ahead.
You've got a love in your life, Jeff.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh my, I've never seen... Jeff, I've never...
Yes! Yes! Oh! Oh! Yes!
I've never seen you like this.
Well, what can I say? I'm in love.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh! Emil!
Jeff?
Oh!
So.
Oh!
Is it. Can we announce you are now engaged to Laura Sanchez?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Are you happy about it?
Extremely happy. You know, there are two times in my life where I can recall being this happy. The first was when we launched Amazon Prime. And the second was when Lauren said yes. When she made me the happiest man in the world all over again by saying yes when I asked her to be my wife.
And now I have to ask you about your boat, Koru, right?
Yeah.
So we're looking at like a 500-foot sailing boat.
That's correct. I also love that boat. And at the very front of it, I put a likeness. I had the ship's builders... But I had the ship's builders put the likeness of my beautiful bride-to-be at the stern of the boat.
I saw that, so I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be her or not, but it is. That's your
fiance.
It is.
It's her and her rocking boobs for the whole world to see. Whenever we come into dock, people will know that's Jeff Bezos and his wife.
And her perfect set of...
Yeah, and her perfect set of rocking boobs. Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Tits forward.
To what?
It's a very tits forward boat.
Yeah, it's a very tits forward vessel. Yeah. Well, that's what you get when you sail with Jeffy B.
So I know she's got a lot of great physical assets, but are there things you like about her insides? Her
yes. 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 Yeah. Yes.
Oh my God. I've never seen you like this.
Emil, I've never felt this way before.
Not even with Mackenzie.
Not even with Mackenzie.
Who gave you four children?
Who gave me four children. I'm in love.
This is beautiful, Jeff.
Welcome back to Augie at the Beat Man.
Kramer, when I get done with you,
yeah.
Are you ready?
Fill me up, Arrow. Big Bitcoin solves this. Bitcoin 100,000.
I microdosed shrooms this morning.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I bought it.
Oh, so you got to do it. Right,
so you got to do it. It's like 50 milligrams. I took it in the car on the way here, but I don't feel anything.
You seem, if anything, sad.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, that's for everyone else to decide.
I macrodosed shrooms this last weekend.
That's cool, man.
It was cool.
Yeah. Nothing like kicking it off with a little bit of drug use.
Mm.
And then you got Melissa Etheridge stuck in my head.
Sorry. She's stuck in my head.
So the whole right here. I'm not the only one. Whoop. Got to stop there because YouTube will will get mad at us. Ah, geez, Louise. Hey, gang, we got these hats. If you want one, we're going to sign the remaining the remaining stock of them. Yeah, who knows what we'll write on there.
It could be
phone numbers.
Our names?
Yeah.
It could be our phone numbers. Probably social security number.
You want to put this on? My head's too big. Okay. Both our heads are too big. TM, I wonder what that stands for.
TM.
Trademark.
Transcendental meditation.
I could not. Did I ever tell you about the time I tried to do
Tell me.
I went to, it was suggested by me to, shout out to my friend Kate, who's going to be having a baby next week.
We actually don't normally do shout outs on the show, but.
Yeah, we don't normally. We haven't done one in a long time. Also, check the disclaimer in the description box while you're at it. But she recommended that I try transcendental meditation. And I went to the, you got to find like a place that does it. And you got to sit through.
You got to hear a recording of David Lynch going, now I need you to relax.
It was Jerry Seinfeld, actually.
No way.
The video that they showed us had him talking about the benefits of it. But I'm like an hour into this thing with all these people in this room in New York, and they show like the human brain, and they show like they just start talking physiological stuff, and I can't stomach that. And I got so dizzy and queasy, I had to leave. I couldn't. So I was like, well, I guess I can't do transcendental meditation.
Ben, once again, proving he's a fun hang.
I got
can
so
you do,
lightheaded.
Can you do meditation?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I could do that too. It's just that I couldn't sit through more physiological stuff because they're showing the brain and all sorts of stuff. And I'm going, I got one of those and it's weirding me out. That's how it always goes. Also, I got hit in the head yesterday. And or I bonked it real bad, and it's starting to bruise. So, can you see it? Is it bruised? Well, I can sure feel it. Jeez, I got so mad. I threw down the weight at the gym because I hit my head on the thing.
Are you gonna sue?
No, I'm not gonna sue. No, I would like to sue someone at some point in my life. Wouldn't you?
Lawsuits are a nightmare, man. You don't.
Yeah, but if you're in the right or something, like that woman who got the hot coffee. The McDonald's coffee.
Famously, people think she was being a press. But
no, but she got like
really
third
got
degree
scalded.
Burn.
Yeah, there was no reason for the coffee to be that hot.
Yeah, that's an awfully hot coffee pot.
What's that?
That's Eminem's devastating rhyme that he delivered a part of it on Donald Trump. You don't remember that? Where he's in the parking garage? You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the rhymes is he goes, that's an awfully hot coffee pot. Anyway.
He really stuck it to Trump there.
He really did. And he said something about him being orange.
Oh,
and he's a bad guy because he's orange.
Another classic.
Yeah. You don't remember that?
I kind of vaguely remember, but I don't remember specific lines from the Trump diss.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't remember what he used to rhyme with orange, but yeah.
There's that video of it's some rapper who's like, I can rhyme with orange, and he starts going.
I think it's Eminem.
It might be Eminem.
But he doesn't actually rhyme with orange. He just kind of, he goes boring, you know, like that sort of rhymes.
It's near rhymes.
Yeah, it's a near rhyme. What else have we got before we dive in? You got anything you want to say?
Oh, were these all plugs?
Yeah, these are plugs.
Yeah, I'd like to plug the fine people of West Texas. Thanks. No, you know what I would like to say?
What?
You guys are nuts. I love you. We sold out the fucking Bauhaus.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Less
than
that. You guys are the fucking coolest.
Also, we kind of fucked up. We had said last week.
No, don't even.
Yeah, who cares?
But thank you for that. That's crazy. Yeah, all my friends were like, how the fuck are you doing this? And I go, because of the sweet, sweet support of all of our beautiful people.
Yeah.
We love you.
Gonna give each and every one of you a kiss and a hug. Don't hold me to that. Also, we got a very special guest later on in the episode from Shark Tank. So stay tuned for that. That's the Jaws theme.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's get into it.
Let's
man.
Get into it.
We had our first instance of AI disrupting. It was a combination of the new Twitter blue checkmark shit and also AI and the potential perils and pitfalls of both combined. Someone created, there was an AI-generated photo of an explosion. And looking at this right away, I'm like, I know that that's fake. I don't know. There's just something slightly uncanny valley about it. You know?
When you look at the road and the fence, there's a weird bend.
In the middle. It almost looks like a fisheye lens, yeah.
Yeah. But it is hard when you see it from... So this is... I believe it came originally from a account that was titled Bloomberg Feed with the blue check.
Oh.
So that's what really tripped people up.
Bloomberg Feed.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the people who did it were just kind of testing the waters and seeing...
Right, that's what people were... So like manipulating the market with...
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what actually happened? I think there was like a 25 basis points dip.
There was a brief drop that in stocks. And of course, I just love that the image was Zero Hedge, cuz you know Zero Hedge, just the perma bear always. If you ever go, if you don't know who Zero Hedge is, go to their Twitter account, and it's just, you would think by looking at their account that it's all just doom and gloom, the world is about to end tomorrow, and they've been saying that for like, Jesus, the last 10 years that I've been they've got me blocked now.
I do love the other, so TechCrunch kind of like pointed to some of the prominent accounts that shared it.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I think it started with Bloomberg Feed, which people got confused about. Then it was several Twitter accounts with hundreds of thousands of followers, like Delta One. Oh yeah, that's where I get all my
Delta
news
One from. is a news account. Yeah,
I mean, but is that where you're like, oh, this? So, and this one's just OSINT Defender, and Whale Chart even shared it. Even an Indian television network reported the fake Pentagon explosion.
Whale Chart.
Whale Chart.
Okay. Well, either way, a bunch of people got tricked. Not me, though. Not your boy, because I didn't see it in time. And I probably wouldn't have believed it anyway, because I'm smarter than that, and I know AI when I see it.
It does suck that we have to question every time. Every time something is reported, we got to go, oh, fuck, is it real?
Yeah.
Is it fucking real?
Yeah. And is there any way to tell other than just your own human intuition?
I feel like Tom getting told that my wife is pregnant.
Oh, in Succession?
Yeah.
Oh, where is this just
is this a play?
Is this a play? By the way, I predict Tom's going to be the CEO. If you haven't watched Succession,
well.
Just, you know, shut up.
When Mattson gives Shiv the call that like a US CEO will play.
Yeah.
He doesn't say her.
I saw a TikTok that pointed out that his last name, Wamsgans,
is an anagram for the next CEO of Waste.
No. There was a baseball player in the 20s whose last name was Wamsgans, and he is the only baseball player in the history of the World Series to execute a triple play by himself. Wamsgans, triple play.
How did he do that?
I don't know. He caught the ball and tagged the guy and then ran and tagged another guy. Who knows? But Tom...
Baseball. When you hear about baseball in the 20s, you're like, this is a different game.
Yeah, I could have done that. I could have hit a fastball
from
Babe Ruth.
What were you guys doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can't imagine that they were throwing the ball harder than like 80 miles an hour.
They were all drunk and fat.
Yeah, Babe Ruth would like smoke cigars at, he wouldn't, but yeah.
There's a picture of Babe Ruth and Yogi Berra, and they both just, it's like.
These were baseball players back then? Yeah, but have you, like Tito Ortiz, he's huge.
I don't know who that is.
He was a baseball player. I mean, he's not dead or anything, but he retired. He played on the Red Sox. There's some big guys.
David Ortiz. Tito Ortiz.
Who's Tito Ortiz? Tito Ortiz is someone else.
But David Ortiz was a DH.
Yeah. So that's all he had to do. God, that'd be nice.
And then they'd like pinch run if it was a big.
Anyway, okay. We're getting off topic. But we do love the Major League Baseball. So that happened, but then it just, as is this market, it just, the dip got bought right back up. Speaking of the market, holy crap.
Holy crap.
The AI bubble is just, I don't even know if you can, I would call it a bubble. I consider it a kind of bubble, yeah. Because you went from all of a sudden, you went from hardly anybody talking about AI, especially companies in their quarterly reports and their conference calls, to now everybody's talking about AI. It's just the hot new thing. That's not to say it's not legitimate and it's not real, as is evidenced by NVIDIA, who just reported their earnings and added a whopping, I don't know, $150 billion to their market cap. It's just absolutely, oh man, I got a friend whose grandfather bought her a bunch of stock in NVIDIA years ago. Like I don't know, 15
years. How did he fucking know?
He's just a smart old guy, man.
Fuck.
Some people, that's the thing is NVIDIA has apparently been investing, they've been investing in AI since like 2008 or 9. They started making moves back then.
I know, but that's fucking 15 years ago. When I hear about grandparents being like, I bought you stock, they're like, I got you stock in Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Or,
it's like, thanks.
Or like Microsoft. But then Microsoft also is fucking killing it. But so, a couple of things. It's been really frustrating watching this market just melt up, as they call it, because it's all just been, as you'll see in the interview, the generals, Microsoft, Google, Apple, NVIDIA, they're the ones leading the charge. They're all...
After taking a huge hit.
Yeah, earlier this year. Yeah. But Microsoft is at all-time highs. Apple's at or near all-time highs. Google's been rallying back from the hit that it took. But so the thing is, with this market, what they call the breadth is weak. You know what the breadth is?
No.
That's a tough word to say.
Breadth.
Basically, breadth is how many stocks are participating in the upside, and the index is going up. So when I'm saying the breadth is weak, it means that the bulk of the bulk of the moves are coming from these leaders, which is, it's like, at once it's concerning, but then on the other hand, you could just as easily argue that,
the case for kind of a long time though, the whole FANG and, you know,
it's been the case before for sure, but this
and tech
time,
companies were such like a disproportionately large part of
yes. So I got some stats here. Apple and Microsoft alone are 14.5% of the S&P. The top
Apple
10,
and Microsoft,
just those two are 14.5% of
wild.
The S&P.
I saw something like Apple's market cap recently became larger than the UK's GDP or something.
Yeah, it's around like 2.7, 2.8 trillion dollars. Jesus Christ. The top 10 stocks in the S&P have accounted for 90% of the index's return in 2023, with over $1.4 trillion in market cap created mostly due to AI hype. Which is so that when I'm talking about, oh, it's a bubble, I'm putting it in quotes because it's, I don't know. It's different than the blockchain bubble that we definitely had in like 2017, where you had just anyone who wanted to pump their stock and juice the stock. All they had to do was mention like we're either getting into blockchain or we're pivoting to it. There was famously this tea company called like Long Island Tea or something. This is from 2017. A $24 million iced tea company says it's pivoting to the blockchain and its stock jumped 200%. That was just one of many. There were like so many penny stocks. Everybody was freaking out over blockchain. Everybody, all sorts of companies were just starting to talk about, like, oh yeah, we're looking into it. We're looking into blockchain. What was the other link that I
Right. And it's like, you know, you brought up those investor calls where it's like AI was mentioned 600 times. And
yeah.
We played that.
So back in 2018, Overstock, NASDAQ, AMD were three public companies that frequently brought up blockchain technology on earnings calls. And there were a bunch of others, FedEx, and they were all just, because it was the newest hype thing, they were all saying essentially the same thing is, we're looking into it and we're looking at ways to integrate blockchain technology to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does seem like it's a bit different in the sense that there are people actually using
Yeah,
AI,
and there's like, actual utility in AI.
Although I can't tell if I'm being duped and just... I'm a rube and I'm going, oh, wow. Look, for example, like, I don't know if we could pull it up, but Adobe just released a ad for their new Photoshop and stuff by, powered with AI.
Yeah.
And
is that the one that uses Getty?
I don't know, but it's obviously it's in beta and yeah, that's gotta be it. If you could play the video.
Yeah, here we go.
So this is obviously an ad and it's still in beta, but if it does work like this, that's pretty well to be like, it means that Photoshop will be accessible to
everyone. Let's see.
But I can't imagine it working this well.
For the audio listener, I'm so sorry.
So you basically just circle something and you go, oh, I want it to look like this. Can you put in a yellow road lines?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Holy God.
You know, I just want you to get
generative fill is what this tool is called. All right. Let's
but look
see.
Just select the thing. Now he's in a fucking street alley.
Wet alley. Okay. It's a...
You know? Oh, can you clear... Can you put a little sign there for me?
It's basically showing... For the audio listener, it's... you just highlight something and then the little thing pops up and says, describe what you want it to see.
Frozen lake.
Frozen lake with reflections. Boom. There's the frozen lake with reflections.
Again, this is a fucking
different iterations
ad. This
of
is
it
an
too.
Ad. This is not someone actually
yeah.
using it. And I'm sure this is very... I mean,
jeez Louise.
I'm sure this is very aspirational. I can't imagine it working this well. But if they can do it, that's fucking huge.
I'd like to quote the villain from The Incredibles, the first one, when he said, when everyone is super, no one will be.
Syndrome.
And it's a syndrome. Thank you. That's who he was. By the way, I feel so bad for people with red hair. In every Disney movie, they make the red-haired person the evil... sinister one. Like, if you're a kid with red hair watching Disney movies, you gotta feel like shit.
If you're a
another
kid with
fucking
red hair.
Redheaded evil villain, great, awesome.
Is that true?
Yeah, but then they made up for it by making that Brave movie about the Irish woman who can shoot arrows or something.
Yeah, no one liked Brave though.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What's that?
Anna from Frozen.
Is that is that a bad one?
No, she had red hair.
Anna from Frozen. Well, there goes my whole theory about red hair being villains.
But that's not Pixar.
Okay, thank you. What's not Pixar? Frozen?
Frozen.
Frozen is Disney. Disney. Pixar. Isn't it?
No.
No? Okay. Well, anyway, let's continue. So NVIDIA, you would think that they made insane amounts of money, and they really didn't. It's their revenues came in at $7.2 billion versus $6.5 billion expected.
But I think that was the big... ripping is that they beat
well no it was that they that their quarter two estimates they projected about $11 billion, whereas Wall Street was expecting 7.2, so just like
right.
all of a sudden boom, a big thing, a big boost in that. And I mean, it's a couple of things. It's kind of like Tesla 2.0, back when Tesla was just absolutely rocketing and it just was the meme stock, the hot stock that everybody was chasing. It's a similar kind of thing that I think we're seeing. And you've got the narrative of AI, which is actually showing concrete numbers right now. But I wonder how sustainable it is for them in particular, because you've got, I'm sure that a lot of this is coming from like Google and Microsoft and the likes of like Amazon, these big
we're
companies.
All this AI race.
Yeah, placing these big orders mm-hmm. for these things. But like, is it going to be sustainable? I don't know.
What, like there could be another big shiny thing that all these companies...
No, but like how many times do they need to keep re-upping?
True.
You know? Yeah, I really don't know. But
well, I can imagine they are going to keep working on faster and more powerful machines.
Well, and that's the other thing, is all these companies have their own in-house AI initiatives that they're working on. So, but I know that NVIDIA is like miles ahead of them all, and it's going to take everybody a long time to catch up. And they're all doing specific things that are specific to their business models. And but either way, there's an interesting quote here from the CEO, Jensen Huang. He said in the conference call, the computer industry is going through two simultaneous transitions, accelerated computing and generative AI. But so, yeah, NVIDIA's jump is like single-handedly. I mean, this week it looked like the NASDAQ and the S&P were going to go firmly in the red this week. I mean, they are in the red this week, but it's been buoyed back up single-handedly by NVIDIA, because then it boosted AMD and it boosted SMCI and it boosted Broadcom. Everybody's now like, oh, AI is here to save the day, and the bubble continues. But like, the breadth is still, there's this April 25th, I got this research note from JP Morgan. Their global market strategies team pointed out on April 25th that this is the narrowest stock leadership in an upmarket since the 1990s, and they called it mega cap crowding, and added that the current level of mega crap crowding implies that the risk of recession is not priced into markets. And there were four of the six periods where breadth was the weakest occurred near market peaks, including in December 99, July and September 2000, and October 2007.
Well, luckily, looking back on those times, nothing bad happened after
that. Yeah, that's true. But also,
everything was great.
There's the old adage that the market can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent. So I would expect this kind of thing to just kind of continue and chug ever higher, because until I think that it's going to be the, because there's been all these warnings from these banks and these researchers that like, oh, the earnings recession is going to catch up to us, and all of these things are eventually going to catch up. But I think it's going to be like the wagon's going to keep on chugging along until all the wheels literally fall off. And that's the only thing that's going to stop it. It's just going to go until it finally just peaks. And by then, we'll probably be back at all-time highs, I think. That's my prediction. Yeah. But, oh, God, there's more predictions here.
Give them to me.
Yeah. So, this is off of what this guy from Nomura, Charlie McElligott, said. He said the equities market can continue to absolutely party until the end game arrives, and it can take much longer than you think, despite things breaking along the way, just ripping out hearts in the meantime as we continue to fend off worry after worry, where pervasive skepticism and cynicism keep sentiment and positioning light, feeding a buyers are higher pain trade melt up with risk assets in the meantime.
Meaning what, though? Like, so you guys can all sit around and worry about, you know, a bad economy, the interest rates being hiked, but investors are going to look at what's going on with all, you know, innovative AI, and are still going to be happy to pump those up.
There's a lot of people that are on the sidelines. That's why he said positioning is light, and there's a lot of skepticism and worry and cynicism, but that feeds into the other old adage of bull markets climb a wall of worry. That's what they do. So like, it's not that it just goes up with eternal optimism and everything is rosy.
You got all these sayings. I'm picturing you just in a suit in a Wall Street office. You got suspenders on.
Sell in May and go away.
A bull market climbs a wall of worry.
They do. But
I just kicked you out of my office. Shut the fuck up, old man.
The question, I mean, we talked about AI and the comparison to blockchain. The question, I think, is how quickly and practically companies are actually going to be able to utilize it. I mean, BuzzFeed is an example that comes to mind where it could actually work straight away, where they can just start generating content pretty easily, because that's been a thing. I mean, AI-generated content is nothing new. But in other cases where it's like customer service type shit, I don't think that
that's see the huge, they might save some money, but like, haven't they been doing that forever with, you know, people fucking screaming at phones going,
represent,
you know, it's been so
I understand
sparse.
You'd like to talk to a representative.
Yeah. You're not going to, it's not like you're going to wipe out an entire workforce. It does make sense with for the Photoshop thing, for example, that actually could bring in a lot of new users where there was maybe a barrier to entry. If it works, I'm still very skeptical about all of these things. But if it does work like that, you could have people who maybe were intimidated by Photoshop going, oh, no, I could use it.
Too many tools in Photoshop. You give me, I still don't even know what the burn tool is. Some graphic designer out there is screaming
at us.
Let me know in the comments what the burn tool does.
But I don't know. At this point, I don't buy the whole, I think there's this story that it's going to turn you into your own, you know, you don't need a graphic designer anymore. You're going to be able to just type it into Midjourney. And have you seen those compilations of the logos it's asked?
They're dog shit.
Right.
They're terrible logos. But that could just be a matter of someone putting in a shitty prompt.
True.
If you're good at prompting, then you could churn out something amazing. I don't know. I still think people prefer people. I prefer a person. I think that this kind of thing will lead to a kind of pushback. People prefer people.
Yeah, I guess it depends, though. I think younger people are going to rely on it more and more.
Yeah.
What?
It's just depressing. It's depressing to think about. And I do wonder where this takes us. If we're going to start having the UBI conversation sooner than later, and if it's going to come up next year in the election cycle as a real thing, as more and more jobs get taken and these companies just make
Trump and Biden are going to talk about UBI.
Oh God. So you think it's going to be Trump and not DeSantis? By the way, it's DeSantis, apparently. That's how he pronounced it himself, his own name.
The only way people are going to pronounce it are the way fucking Trump says it.
That is so true.
I think after yesterday, his launch, I mean, what a fucking disaster. He couldn't get it going. And then not only could he not get it going on the... For those of you who don't know, Ron DeSantis announced his... presidency via Twitter Spaces yesterday, and with a whole host of technical difficulties, there was just periods of all you could hear were people clearing their throats and going, sorry, we're trying to figure out what's going on here. And by the time he finally announced, most of the people had left. And
how many were in there total? Like 800,000? Something like
that. I think at one point there was a bunch.
Yeah.
But I think... So the majority had left because they were like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
Elon Musk was trying to explain what was going on. But Trump was...
Oh, he was hot on it.
He was truthing. Yeah. There was... if we can find his truths real quick, there was two specifically. One... okay, so here's one of his truths, which is, Rob, my red button is bigger, better, stronger, and is working. Truth, yours does not. Per my conversation with Kim Jong-un of North Korea, soon to become my friend. I don't even know what that one means. But then, can you pull up the rocket one?
Why does he call him Rob DeSantis?
So he, this was, so he truthed an image of a rocket trying to launch, and he's got Ron 2024 on.
No, but he's got it. He's mocking Jeb. The Jeb with an exclamation point. He's got Ron with an exclamation point.
Okay. But this one was honestly my favorite, this next one. He's got the Twitter Spaces that he's saying is Ron DeSantis announcing, and he's got Elon Musk in there, Ron DeSantis, George Soros, Dick Cheney, Adolf Hitler, the devil.
The FBI. And Klaus, whatever his name is, from the World Economic Forum.
Let's just hear a little bit of it.
Oh, this is real?
Oh, yeah.
Mute, George.
Dick Cheney keeps coughing.
Dick, could you try not to cough on the... Okay, so how are we going to take out Trump, you guys?
Guys from the FBI... This is not a private call. This is a public Twitter space. Everyone can listen in.
God damn it.
It's obviously very corny, but, you know, people are loving
it. Anyway, guys,
that is very funny.
this Twitter space so Governor Ron DeSantis could...
Everyone just shut the hell up so I can make my announcement, okay? You go, girl.
Wait, the devil is gay?
So what? Everyone in this call is gay.
Truly, how is Dick Cheney still alive? Isn't he like 80-something?
All right, that's enough of the whole... But, well, and Trump, they have a Trump log on at the end. You can actually jump to the end to hear. It's so corny. Keep going maybe a little bit.
Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Elon, the real president is going to say a few words. The devil, I'm going to kick your ass very soon. Hitler, you're already dead. Dick Cheney, sounds like you'll be joining Hitler very soon. Klaus Schwab and George Soros, I'm putting both your asses in jail. And Ron DeSanctimonious can kiss my big, beautiful 2024 presidential ass. Trump
2024, oh, my
baby.
God.
Let's go.
It's the WWE. That's okay.
From now until November 2024 is going to be a fucking nightmare.
Endless or entertaining, depending on your perspective. It's going to be a very entertaining nightmare. Oh, man. Oh, I guess I can't. Guess I can't wait. Guess
wait for what?
Can't wait for it. It's going to be entertaining. Strap me in.
I don't know.
I can see the mountain, and the plane is accelerating, and the nose is pointed downward, and I'm just, you know what? Actually, I'm not strapped in. I'm unbuckling my seatbelt and just going, turn me into mush.
The only entertaining nightmare I think I would like is, so I don't know if you saw, but there was a story circulating where Hillary Clinton was like...
thinking about
it? No, she was basically saying, you know, I can understand why the Joe Biden age thing is a concern.
Uh-huh.
And so people were like, wait, is she,
is you that know Hillary Clinton's do it. Music? Go for it.
But that's, I was like.
Let's get a Clinton-Trump rematch.
I think that would be very funny.
That would be very funny and so entertaining.
And if that happens.
I think she would win.
I would do anything for Bernie to join the race.
As her co-founder, as her vice president.
No, what?
Oh, like just to run?
Yeah, like in 2016.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just repeat 2016. Everybody collectively gets a big do-over. Part two, the rematch. I think that she would win because I think that everybody that didn't go out and vote because they thought that it was in the bag.
I think
would,
Bernie might win.
If Bernie ran against Hillary and Trump?
Well, he's running for the Democratic primary and then would eventually have to...
Let's fucking ditch the primaries, man. Can we just go like, let's get, yeah, instead of one Democrat and one Republican, whoever wants to run, let them run, man. And then we win that way. Whoever gets the most electoral votes wins. Not the first of 270. Anyway. Twitter's got its problems.
But yeah, do I think Ron will be it? No.
Yeah. Do you think that Instagram's Twitter competitor can take on Twitter? I say absolutely.
So do I. Honestly, I it's been
awesome.
I can't believe how long it's taken anyone to step up and just make a... It's Twitter's pretty simple. It's a text-based app that like has video compatibility and...
Yes,
you know,
but...
Every company... People are like, I'm going over to Mammoth. It's like, okay, have fun, dude. Like, what do you mean I have to join different servers? Or like... can we pull up some of the... screenshots
of the Instagram
Twitter competitor. Vara is, it looks visually pleasing. So this is from
The Verge.
This is, yeah, but they got it from Leah Haberman, her Substack. She reported on her, in case you missed it, Substack newsletter. And it's supposed to be a leaked marketing slide with details about the potential Twitter killer.
So it would be its own app. However, it would migrate all of your existing followers over to it.
And anyone you have blocked,
yeah,
words you have blocked, all that stuff. It would basically have the same...
Is there a timeline as to when... I don't think there is.
No, I mean, this is all... It's all some like... it's got like a... It's a code name... project, yeah. That I don't even think they've announced it.
I think it would absolutely...
But apparently they are shipping out some kind of beta version for big creators and stuff to see if they like it.
And to get feedback, I'm sure. This, I think...
Truly because... just make Twitter the way it was before and people will be so happy.
Well, and when you... I think the big killer is the fact that it's an existing social media site that allows you to migrate all your followers over to a new place. Because otherwise, starting from zero at a new thing just feels forced, and it feels it's cheesy, it's corny. With this, you kind of know what you're getting. And everybody on Twitter, I feel like, has just been waiting for something like this.
I've signed up for a few. I signed up for the, did you hear about that one? The Post?
No, it's too many.
I know. It was
Blue Sky.
That one I felt was maybe, because I used to like Twitter as a kind of roundup of news.
Yeah.
And so the Post was kind of for journalists, but I was just like, I've just like lost interest. You guys, they couldn't roll out an app quick enough. Mammoth, I was just like, what fucking server am I supposed
to
pick?
Also, what shitty name?
Yeah. And then Blue Sky, people were stoked about. But,
no. I went on it once and was like, eh. It just looks like dead Twitter. It just looks like a ghost town.
Yeah, well, I think that's another, like, Instagram will, if they started one, it would immediately have users and...
Exactly.
And people would probably be pretty stoked to be pumping shit out to them.
Yes. Well, everybody, I think that just about does it. We're gonna leave you with Damon John interview. We'll cut to it right now. So,
oh yeah, it's a super fun one.
It's a super fun one. So stick around. He's very fun and very interesting, and had a lot of cool shit to say. And we asked such good questions.
We did a good job.
We did a good job. So, thank you as always for sticking around. We love you so much. And we'll see you in After Hours.
Good boy.
Folks, we got a very special guest for you today. He is the People's Shark from Shark Tank and myriad other things. Damon John, everybody. And we got a round of applause.
We'll put that in post.
Yeah, we'll put that in post. Thank you so much for taking the time. We're here promoting your book, Little Damon Learns to Earn, which is...
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, you know, it is a book that I did not think, or well, I was hoping that it would do well, but I didn't know if it would do that well. And I put it out about 6 weeks ago. It hit new Amazon number one book in the entire country, potentially in the entire world. You never know, for about a day, which was absolutely amazing of all books. And it is about financial intelligence as well as entrepreneurship for kids 5 to 10 years old. It went on to New York Times bestseller for, I think, about 3 or 4 weeks. I'm not saying that to brag that, I'm this and that, but it's because America voted. America said that we want financial intelligence and these type of things to be taught to our children. I guess hopefully I'm using my public platform for something bigger and better, because I'm sure there are many, many, many other products and books and things like that made by educators and amazing people that don't have the resources and the public's attention to get it out there. So hopefully this has now caused this momentum. I know that Florida and Texas are trying to start putting entrepreneurship and financial education in schools, but the bottom line is, for the last 80 years or even further than that, we were never taught financial intelligence in school, because the school system is working off of the old system of us being in the industrial age, where they taught us how to build ships to go to war or be a good employee. But today, if a child has no financial intelligence, they're not teaching us about taxes, about credit. But at 18 years old, you can acquire $500,000 to probably $700,000 worth of student debt for a career you're not certain you want to have. Nothing against higher education. We're setting our children up to fail, and we need to change that narrative, whether it's me or anybody else.
Wow, you really did. You saw an opportunity, and you struck it there. Because that's actually a point that we wanted to get to. Is that the education system is woefully lacking in all of that kind of education, especially for, like you said, ages 5 to 10. But yeah, throughout.
I don't know. Speak for yourself. I kind of think maybe we should have all our kids learning how to make tanks and ships. You know, I want to be ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good. My partner here makes a good point. We do need children to be working as well. Because where was it? Was it Florida that they were busting kids for working at McDonald's?
Yeah, And I didn't say our kids don't need to work, but I want them to see how the money works, and right. so that they are have better access of success. So they're going to build themselves a tank. They got all the money for the materials.
No, I was mostly joking. I think it's a great idea. I think there's a clear. I mean, as someone who went through the American public schools, you know, you kind of. You realize you're 22, 23 years old, and you're like, how does anything work? No one told me yeah,
right.
about basic shit.
Do you have any hope in the American education system to kind of be reformed and to change in the next decade? Or do you think that that's up to entrepreneurs like yourself to kind of take charge and create things that the education system is lacking in?
No, you know, so I think there's two things in the education. So first of all, I am a huge fan of this country and the people in this country. So I will always see the brighter side of things. I think this is the greatest country on the planet. And I think there's two things that are in our system or lacking in our system that are not a conspiracy or not this and that. Now, Mark Cuban wants to take on Big Pharma, and he's right, right? They are killing people, and there's a lot of people who need help and drugs and various other things. And I do think there's a lot of people who are just trying to take as much as they can. I don't think in whether it's nutrition or I think in financial intelligence, I don't think there's anybody in our entire school system saying, let's feed our kids the worst things possible with no nutrition so we can make money off them 20 years later when they have cancer or diabetes. I do not believe that at all. I do not believe anybody saying, let's not teach them financial intelligence so we can, I don't know, bankrupt them years from now. That is not happening. And I think that education turns very slowly. But what I am seeing is these schools who are saying we need to change this. But I think that books like this that I put out or that you may put out or anybody will pull out, when you start to see them working, you start to get a competitive or a competition going. Why are schools in Missouri doing better than schools here? And the good thing about educators is they will start scraping that data and saying, this is why it's working. This is why it's working. And they need to make an adjustment. I think we're going to see it within 10 years. I'm almost positive we will see it a significant change within 10 years.
I sure hope you're right. Is this why you call yourself the People's Shark?
No, you know, I think I was called the People's Shark for a couple of reasons. I think that when people come on Shark Tank and they have a $1 million in the bank and they're asking for another million, I think that there are places to pitch those type of businesses, but the everyday American who is living paycheck to paycheck can't relate to that. And the platform of Shark Tank was created because you did not have any money. You had no place to go and you risked it all. And you basically said, let me come to the sharks because I need this. I cannot go to a bank. And so I really rip people a new one when they come on there, because you're taking away the slot of another person who may need it. And I think that that's where it comes from, as well as I love investing in people.
Right.
You know, I believe in people.
You know a thing or two about getting rejected yourself, because the first company you started, FUBU, and for those in the audience who don't know what FUBU is, it is how would you characterize
it? The streetwear brand.
I would characterize it as like the first breakthrough streetwear brand that really, I don't know, broke through the mainstream, right?
I think that's an accurate way. A hip-hop a brand that was made for hip-hop and people loved it. Streetwear brand, a first hashtag of clothing, right? For us, by us, that broke through and went mainstream. There were two and three other people that influenced me, that Calk and I and Cross Colors and Dapper Dan. They didn't at that point had made it to really mainstream globally. And that's what FUBU did. And that's who it is. For us, by us. And it was all about hip hop and empowering an entire generation of people who loved hip hop.
Right. And I was reading that 27 banks turned you down for loans.
Yeah.
I mean, and you had already had sales at that point, right? Like, what do you attribute that to?
I attribute to not having financial intelligence in school, because I got to tell you, the way that I filled out those loans, I wouldn't have gave myself the money either. I didn't know what I was talking about. Because at the end of the day, people think it's not the bank's job to give you money. You need to go to the bank and show them how will they make money off of the money they loan you. And, you know, a lot of people rather give away 50 or 20 or whatever percentage of their company. The bank doesn't want any of your company. They don't want to take your house. They don't want to take anything else. They just want 3%, 5%, 8%, 9% off of their money. And I was not able to articulate, whether on paper or in person, how I could actually return that capital. I kept thinking about my own needs. Man, I'm going to make this hot. Yeah. You know how many people wear my shirt? LL wearing my shirt. It's a good statement on LL wearing my shirt, but how about LL, one of the top music artists, wearing my shirt? And if you look at a video that's paid 300 times across the country, with somebody who would normally have to pay, I don't know, $20,000 for that commercial, well, think about how much equity we have in advertising and marketing. And now I take that over to a reputable manufacturer that can deliver those clothes. Think about all the money we would make. That's a different conversation than, yo, this hot out here. Everybody loves it.
This is why I can't run a bank. I mean, you come in, you tell me ladies love Cool James is wearing your shirt, I'm investing.
Well, you know, open a bank thing, because I got a lot of those type of things.
And I'd be the banker going, well, sir, LL Cool J certainly is interesting, but unfortunately, I'm going to need to see some kind of business plan than the young man wearing the shirt.
And then I was young. I used to be business plan. I planned to do some business. Yeah. That's exactly what was my business plan.
Do you think that it was easier then to start a business or easier now? And I feel like I know what you're going to say, but please go ahead.
Absolutely now.
Yeah.
There was no smartphones. There was no internet. I can open up a phone right now and open up a Shopify account. My, you know, the amount of people I can sell to standing on the corner was the amount of people that drove by the corner. I can open up a Shopify account. I can create a merchant account. I can then take your money, whether it is Zelle or Cash App, and I can hit you all around the world.
Right.
That's
but,
it.
But do you think that makes it harder to maybe break through and shine, rise above the others? Because it seems like entrepreneurship is on the rise heavily, and now it's about how do you break through that? I mean, everyone's Instagram is probably full of ads for a company you've never heard of. How do you kind of build? I feel like I've been burned. We've talked about it on our show where you buy, you know, they're really good at doing the branding, and you get an ad where you're like, man, that shirt looks perfect. I'm going to order it. It gets to your house. You put it on. You're like, this is the worst fitting shirt I've ever had. And so, and then you go, I'm never going to buy something from them again. But I mean, how do you now build a company where there's trust and, you know, a company you can rely on and that you really want to give your money to?
It is easier now, but you are absolutely correct. It's easier. And guess what? Everybody can do it.
Right,
so
exactly.
Now you have to separate yourself. But how do you build it is the same exact way that you always build it. You know, what you're doing right now is all you're doing is putting this stuff on a different platform. If you would have bought that shirt and they would have put it in a bag, now you most likely would have been able to try it on. But right. Let's say there was other defects on the shirt for whatever reason. You wash it, falls apart. You take that shirt back to the store and they say, well, that's your problem, buddy.
Right.
You're never going back to that store again. The same thing with people when you buy it and you like, I want to send it back. You pick up the phone and be like, DM people or whatever. Hey, I don't like the shirt. If they don't answer you back, well, you're never buying it again either. It's the same thing. You have to have customer service. You have to say, I'm sorry, how can we make this better for you? Because, you know, a customer that is disgruntled with you, if you pay attention to them, they are four times more likely to become a big ambassador for you than anything else. So it is always going to be the same fundamentals of business. It's just a different platform that we're on.
So do you think if you were starting FUBU today, you would have done things differently, or you probably would have?
Oh, way different. So because, I mean, think about FUBU today. FUBU today, it wouldn't be new to have poor African-American owners, right? It wouldn't be new that it was related to clothing. So what would FUBU be today? I probably, with retail not knowing who they want to be when they grow up, today, I probably have one representative, a male and one female in each college, and they would probably get, you know, I'd probably have it, you know, worked with some kind of financial institution where they would get $300 or $400 worth of FUBU that is worth $1,200 and allow them to sell it very much like an Avon, you know, type of product. And the more they sell, the more kind of, you know, education we give them, how to be better on social media, how to be better in finance and various other things from TikTok or whatever digital platforms or digital curriculums. And then they would get rewarded from it. That's the way it would be. Now I would have 2 million stores that literally are in college tweeting and texting and doing all this type of stuff to sell it.
Interesting approach. So you had the cool, like arguably the coolest brand in the 90s. Can you talk a bit about what that was like? Like, did you just feel like you were on top of the damn world? Like, you've got the coolest brand and all the coolest artists are wearing your clothes. You got to have some stories, right?
Yes. I did feel like I was on top of the world. Yes. I also had a healthy paranoia that I felt like this thing was going to be over soon. Ooh. Like, the other shoe was going to drop. Like,
yeah.
You're going to come after me. And they did in various ways. But I also, you know, was like, how could I be better tomorrow for people? Because now that I've gotten to this level, you know, and I always would be very intimidated mentally by going, how does Nike do it?
Right. So what was the other shoe that dropped for you? Just like, did you see sales decline or anything?
Of course. Yeah. Things happen. Planes crash into buildings. People start nesting and saying, you know, I don't want to get out there. Or a kid has 4 years of FUBU in their closet in high school, and they go to college and they say, you know what? I want to change up the way that I'm dressing.
Right.
Other competitors come into the market, and you know, they're very big. You know, Puff and Jay, and they're very notable names, and they don't have to worry if somebody else in a video is wearing it. All they got to do is put it in their own. So, you know, you get a lot of competition, and competition is healthy. And you know, so that happened. But that's the good part of business. If you are ready and you are like, you have this kind of healthy paranoia, well, then I gotta take FUBU and I gotta buy Coogee, or I gotta buy Etonic, or I gotta buy other brands so that I can kind of build a bigger moat around me. And I'm gonna buy other brands, and you know, you fail at a couple of them, some of them succeed, and then all of a sudden somebody calls you and says, hey, we got a new show called Shark Tank. I heard you're an angel investor. You're buying brands. You want to come on the show? And you go, yeah, why not? And 15 years later, I'm one trillionaire, you know, talking to guys. And
I mean, I would say that this is the pinnacle right here. You've reached the apex.
That's it.
This is where people strive to be on the show. We are constantly turning down offers left and right, money being thrown at us. It's really overwhelming.
100%. I, you know, this has been a long time that I've been. I was thinking about trying to get on the show back in the 90s.
when I was a bar mitzvah boy.
I also feel the need to say, you know, we were working on a book called Little Ben and Emil Learn to Earn before we knew about yours. So if you see that, and we were glad to hear that, you know, you're not super litigious or anything. So,
well, also, you're going for the 5 to 10 market. We're going, that's really incidentally, I mean, we're going for 11 to like 20. So there's room for both of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's room for all of us.
All right. Yeah, that's the crew. So absolutely. I love it. I love it.
So Shark Tank. Well, okay. A couple things, actually. I want to know, when did you feel like you really made it and you felt like, okay, I'm safe now, I'm secure? Because, I mean, you grew up, you funded FUBU yourself. You worked part time at Red Lobster. I worked at a seafood restaurant, too. It didn't traumatize me at all, but... Yeah, there. Do you still have dreams where you're working at Red Lobster? By the way, do you still have those panic dreams of like, oh my God, my shift's starting and I don't know where my pants are?
No.
Okay. Well, you've grown past it. Your dreams have evolved, and now it's like, oh my God, we don't have enough inventory to sell FUBU.
I think I finally felt like I had made, I had some level of success in my, like around 37, I had about 37, 38, I felt like I didn't need materialistic things anymore to try to keep, it wasn't keeping up with Jones. It was like, well, I just thought I'm supposed to buy expensive things to, and I loved them. But after you bought it the first or second time, you go, all right, that's a beautiful car. And after a little while, about 5 years, you realize you have all these cars, but your friends use them more than you did. Hmm. And you really just narrow down on what's really important to you. I realized I had a good amount of money in the bank, but I had, more importantly, I had financial intelligence, because I'd almost went bankrupt twice when I was broke and once when I had $10 million in the bank.
Wow.
And I had way more than that after that period of time. I had been able to survive after that. And I realized I didn't have to necessarily depend on either being famous or having a great idea. I can now invest in other ideas. I don't need to be famous. And I don't need all these big things around me because I don't care. And I think it was around 38. I'm 54 now. So right around that time. And I really started my career with FUBU at 19. Oh, no, 20. So... It took about 20 years.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah, there's a great quote. I'm going to totally butcher it, but George Harrison from the Beatles is talking about how, you know, they had more money than they could have ever dreamed by the time they were in their late 20s, and they realized very quickly that, oh my God, this thing that everybody lusts after and spends their whole life chasing, they realized early on that it's not everything and that there's more to life than that. For him, it was spirituality, but yeah. So Shark
Tank. For us, it's revenge.
Yeah, for us, it's totally revenge. Yeah. Thank you for reminding me. For us, that's what drives us at the end of the day.
That's right, revenge.
So with Shark Tank, we know that you've got a few successful. Would you say that Bombas was your most successful investment, the socks?
Bombas is the most successful in Shark Tank history out of all companies that have been invested in Shark Tank.
No way. I thought it was Sponge Daddy.
No, Scrub Daddy is number two.
Scrub Daddy.
Suck it, Scrub Daddy.
Yeah, suck it, Scrub Daddy.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people say that any investment I regret, that's the only one I regret, you know, trying to do a deal with, because I actually went after that one. Other ones, you know, if I didn't go after it, I don't care. But I went after that one, and Lori beat me to it, and Lori did a great job with it.
How is there not room for everybody? If you all, after the cameras are off, can't you just go, all right, count me in. Like, I'll give you an extra 500 grand, whatever.
Yeah, there's always room. But what happens is we see so many people that, you know, somebody else is coming through the door next. If Lori beat me on it, it's not like, it's like, okay, whatever. Good for you. You don't see the results on if the thing's going to work that day or that year even.
Of course,
you know, right. you see it 4 or 5 years later, and sometimes these things go to zero, come back, you know, you reconfigure the thing. So it's not an easy and clear answer to what success is or failure is with any of these companies. These are real businesses.
Right. Are you wearing Bombas right now?
Yeah, I am, of course.
I would ask you to prove it, but I don't think you're interested in lifting up your feet. It's not a trick.
It'll be pretty hard because I'm sitting at a tall desk, and I wouldn't be able to do so. But absolutely, I don't think I have any other pair of socks. I think I have a pair of maybe Stance or something that was given to me a long time ago, and they're there because I never get to them. But I'm overloaded with Bombas.
Nice. Do you have any outside of Shark Tank? Do you have any companies that you wish you were currently invested in? Like Nvidia just posted, I don't know if you saw that they just posted their earnings, but it's up like 27% after hours. Are there any investments like that that you look back on and go, God, how did I miss that?
You know, I get pitched a lot. I did, but so I got to just put it in context. I get pitched a lot. So I got pitched Uber, and I turned that down. But if I would have invested in that, and I would invest in all the other ones, I would have probably been negative several, like maybe $20 million, right? So Uber was the only one that I actually passed on that I could think about being a massive success. None of really the other ones that I wish I would have invested in.
Huh. What kind of success rate are we looking at from your Shark Tank investments? Are you losing a lot, or are they pretty successful across the board?
No, Shark Tank, I think you have, like, out of 10, you have about 4 that go to zero, right? Another 3 that are kind of on the fence, here it goes, you know, maybe it'll work out or not. And then another, maybe 1 out of the final 3 are doing decent, and then 2 rock stars.
Okay.
Scrub Daddy and Bombas. Sorry, Bombas and then Scrub Daddy.
Yeah.
A distant number 2.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think he's doing pretty well. But, you know, my would be, you know, Bombas socks. It would be the Tentacle. It would be
what's
Aqua
the Tentacle?
Balls. Tentacle is a little suction cup. You know, it has tentacles on it, and you can put your phone on it. And it can you have any tentacles around it? It's in front of my bag. In the front of that black bag, and then you can put the suction cups anywhere you want and wrap it around things, and it keeps your phone in place.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I know those. I want to invest in those hats, whatever those hats are. You got them in the, like, triple XL for my giant head?
Noggin Boss, they just did a really great deal. Noggin Boss, they're really cool guys. So I think that one is going to be big, but it didn't get to that point just yet because, again, these are real businesses. So here is the Tentacle right here.
Ah, yes.
Okay. And it wraps around and does all kind of stuff in suction cups. So it's really
a bajillion ways to use.
A bajillion ways.
Ooh, yeah, it's a car mount. I need to get one of those in my truck.
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you own, do you invest in stocks at all? Or is it just, are you one of those who only goes for businesses? Like angel investing.
I love stocks. So I always tell people that, you know, the reason I'm on Shark Tank and the is to work with people, because if I need to make money or lose money, you know, I send it over to the market. They don't dust off Steve Jobs and ask, and he comes and asks me how to fix a damn computer. I just either make money or not. You know, I mean, we look at Amazon over the last, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, as they call it, my buddy, you know, Wall Street Made, who's my stock guy, always says, listen, the generals are starting to wake up, you know, which are the big boys and girls. And Amazon has went, I think, up 10% over the last 3 weeks. I mean, that is $100 billion increase. Yeah. And all the generals are starting to wake up now, and that's great, you know, but you just play stocks, the long game on it. That's, I've been through I made a lot of money on a day trade on Apple maybe 15 years ago. And I thought I was Gordon Gekko. And I look at the money that I took out of that market that I had in Apple, and I want to kick myself.
Oh, sure.
It would have been $30 million.
Oh
today.
My God. Was it an options play or just like a day trade just with common shares?
Well, you know, it wasn't a day trade. I had it in for about 6 months. This thing spiked. And then I was like, let me take it out. No. So, of course, I didn't know any better. I knew well enough to go into the market, but it wasn't capital gains. It was standard taxed, right? And I would have parlayed that and just kept it in. It would have been worth way more. So the gift and the curse of the TD Ameritrade and the Robinhood is you have too much access. Oh, just put it away.
You know what they say? It's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market.
Yes. In the market.
Do you what are your thoughts on this rapidly inflating AI bubble where you've got the market leaders being Nvidia, Microsoft, Apple, Google, just these like 4 or 5 behemoth mega cap names just single-handedly lifting the market? Do you think that it's something that's kind of like blockchain version 2.0, or is it more real? And
I don't think it's blockchain. This is
a
new way. I think this is a new Google. But the same as I call them, the generals. Those are the generals that pulled us down too in the market, because when they start to suffer, everything does. Right. AI is the way that we're going. I am nowhere near a professional, or maybe even not even a novice at this point with it. It's the new way of the world. Bitcoin is not necessarily the new way of the world. That's one form of a financial instrument. But AI will exist and does exist in almost every aspect of our lives. So I do think that they are dominating it and controlling a lot of it. And I don't know if there's a bubble on it, because it's just the new way we're communicating.
And that's kind of why we wanted to bring you here today. We have a pitch kind of related to AI. Me and Ben separately, you know, you get our personalities onto AI, and we're basically your AI boyfriends. How do you feel about that? Not your boyfriend, but someone's boyfriend. I, you know, the royal your, you know what I mean?
And so I'm sorry, you're going to be people's boyfriend on AI?
Uh-huh.
This is news to me, sir. So
no, Ben came up with it with me.
No. I do think there is some influencer girl who
she took our idea.
She did take our idea. She's soliciting herself as an AI girlfriend, where people pay, I think, like $1 a minute or something like that. It's the 1-900 days all over again.
I think that'll work though.
Agree with you.
Oh, with us specifically.
You mean it's like that movie, right? Where the guy fell in love with this AI.
Yeah, her.
Her, yeah.
But this is Hims.
This is Hims. That company already exists.
Shit.
I think that definitely is going to work.
Do you invest at all in the kind of, you said you're in your 50s, you're 54. Are you at all starting to look into the kind of longevity things, putting things in your body to extend your lifespan? You've got more access to it than us. Tell us what's going on there.
No, you know what? I think I'm trying to take things out of my body to expand my life, meaning like a little bit of the metals, the heavy metals, and various other things.
PFAs.
Know, but yeah, I'm into you know, a lot of holistic things, red lights, and there's a great eBoom machine that really just takes things out of your blood, a lot of the metals and all that type of stuff. So yeah, I'm into a lot of that good stuff. I go to somebody named Gary Brecker, who's an amazing. He's very well known. You should look him up.
Huge shout out to Gary. Do you live in the city, by the way?
I live in Miami.
Oh,
yeah. So a city.
We thought you. So you live in a city.
We thought you were a New Yorker till you die. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in New York right now. I have a place here. Where do you guys live?
We live in L.A.
Yeah.
L.A. All right. Very good. Yeah. No, I'm an East Coast guy.
Yeah. So did you move to Florida for the taxes?
No, I'm still a New York State resident.
Oh, okay. You've got you're domiciled in New York. Very interesting.
I'm still domiciled in New York. Not New York City, though. New York State.
Okay. Where in New York State?
Like your address.
Yeah, what's your
address? Oh, yeah. I'm upstate somewhere between New York and Buffalo, really close to that area between New York and Buffalo.
Got it. So like Westchester.
Oh, yeah.
He lives in Westchester.
Yeah, for sure.
We can narrow that down.
Somewhere in the Hudson Valley.
Let's see. What else did we have here? Oh, what do you say? I frequently, I'm in my 30s and I still feel, or recently I've been feeling like, man, the barrier to entry to make any kind of meaningful, lasting investment is just too high at this point. You've got things like Rivian IPOing at $120 billion. Real estate prices are higher than they've ever been. It just feels like the time was 10, 20 years ago, and now it's just you're feeding on the leftover scraps from boomers. You know, do you think that's all hogwash, or am I nuts?
I think there'll all be places to make money, an opportunity, because I believe that Bitcoin and Ethereum will still be decent investments, not knowing any better. But, you know, when people stop talking about it, that's the time you invest in it. So if you would have bought some of that stuff right around 6 months ago while everybody was like, it's a fake, it's a fraud, you know, I think that you would have been good. But you got to invest in things that you're just excited about, just period, you are excited about and you like. I only invest in things that if it went away, it would disrupt my life, I don't care what people want to say about Zuckerberg, but if he has touch points of 2 billion people and he's an acquisition company that will buy a WhatsApp or all this type of stuff, I know that if he decided to turn off Instagram and Facebook and you lose 15 years of pictures, your life is ruined and it's over. And I know that I'm going to invest in that. Or what if Uber went away? I mean, you know, the last time an African-American caught a yellow cab in New York City, I think Elvis was alive. So, you know, I'm going to buy that. You know, if it's Amazon, I mean, you know, they're not building any more stores or retail. So boxes are going to come and I'm going to go and eat some. I'm going to go to Whole Foods and get some grocery, or I'm going to, you know, be a peeping Tom on Ring. So I'm going to, you know, invest in companies that if they go away, they would ruin my life. And I think that you can find a lot of upcoming stocks and or companies who've been acquired that I think you can get into.
So, but just to go back to that question. So this book is aimed at people who are quite young. I'm wondering do you get questions from maybe people in their early 20s who are getting out of college and, you know, feel a bit lost in this economy? Because there are, it's probably one of our biggest questions from young viewers and listeners is about the fact that they feel locked out of the economy. I mean, we're in our 30s. It's hard to imagine a time when we will own a home.
Well, we also live in LA, which sucks.
Sure.
But
it's extremely difficult for, you know, young people to break into the economy.
I guess you just got to persevere, right?
I asked him.
I know.
No, I think you got to think outside the box. I think that Warren Buffett said it best. He said, you know, if you're a good nurse and you become a great nurse, nobody could take that away from you. And to invest in yourself and the skill that something will, that you can take for you for the rest of your life. If you happen to be a really smart individual and you know, social, I mean, let's get the example, you know, the workforce sucks today. Horrible. Kids coming out of college, they send out a couple of tweets and now they're a social media expert. They want $150,000, $200,000. And that's fine. You want to dance on videos, or even what's the site the young ladies are going on and
Only
making
fans.
Extra money? Huh?
OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Young
so
men
that's
as well.
Fine. That's fine. But if you know that there is a massive amount of people that have wealth, they have distribution, they have manufacturing, but they don't know social media, and they're over here, and they're ranging from 45 to 70 years old. You know, 2 years ago, they had stores that were closed. Their customers right down the block. They did not know how to get to their customer. And if you know that you have access to being able to push things out across the globe, and you know you can say to them, hey, I can move that. Just give me 10%, 20% of that. And these people are like, yeah, whatever. We're just sitting on all inventory. Do you know how much money you can make every single day by learning how to tap into that and bridge that? So you just have to find where the opportunities are, and you can make millions upon millions and millions of dollars. I see kids do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing dance videos, they were doing dance videos with shoes or glasses or a drink from somebody who's like, I don't know how to move this crap. And they're making millions and millions of dollars. So I think there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Where do those people live?
What people?
Those people selling all that stuff. I gotta ask them some questions.
You know what? Go down any main street in any town, and you look at half those stores that are closed and the little ones that are open. Go in there and see who's selling to those stores. Mm.
Interesting.
I knew I shouldn't have spent so much time dancing on TikTok.
You could.
I spent too
you
much.
You could be dancing on TikTok. And trust me, there's a company that said, just hold this while you dance on TikTok, and we will give you 50% because we're sitting. The reason why the Burlington and the TJ Maxx's of the world exist is because that's all over goods that people can't sell. And the dollar stores, think about that. All those dollar stores, I think there's if you add Dollar Tree and Dollar General, I think there's 36,000 of them. The reason they exist is because people can't move those goods and they give it to them. Huh. But those are an older generation probably buying them. When's the last time you've seen any millennials going, I got to go to JCPenney, the dollar store, or Burlington Coat Factory? They're using it off of their phone. All you got to do is find a different way to get that pipeline out to them.
Right. I remember when Bill Ackman tried to invest heavily in JCPenney because I believe JCPenney had just hired the guy who was responsible for designing Apple stores. And Ackman thought, this is a surefire thing. We're going to revamp retail and bring people back to the mall. And it didn't pan out, did it?
Not going to work like that. It's all going to be about it. The only reason a retail will exist or there's going to be a value is if you are giving them something that they don't have at home. So if you have a little clothing store or even a JCPenney is a big store, why aren't you putting runways in the store? And then when people buy the goods, you know, they could be their own designer. They get up and they walk on the runway. They tap into their Instagram or TikTok and people already have a link that they can buy those clothes because now they go, you now have gotten my profile of clothes. Watch me walk down this runway. It's very Instagrammable. And boom, you got all this information coming in. And now the store is making money. You're making 3% or 10% of all those people globally that just purchased.
I know another way to get them into the stores. Free candy. Boy, that'd get me in there. You have
free candy.
A handful of Skittles? Not even in the bag.
You know,
just
that
the...
didn't. You know, I had a guy in my neighborhood when I was growing up. He always had free candy. And for some reason, it wasn't raining, but he always had a trench coat on. And didn't work out quite well for a lot of kids in the neighborhood.
I'm glad you stayed away from him. Well, I think that just about wraps it up.
We're being told we're running out of time.
Yeah. We're the power's going to be shut off any minute. Damon, we really want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. We've got your book here. If people want to check it out, where can they find you? If anything else you want to plug.
No, they can find me anywhere. Damon, I'm on Instagram or all the platforms, The Shark Damon. And, of course, you find me Friday nights on ABC Shark Tank arguing with five morons and trying to teach them business, who I call wow. Kevin and Barbara and Robert. I'm just always trying to help these people. Barbara doesn't take her meds. And, and that's it.
Before we go, do you want to talk some more shit on your co-hosts or...
Yeah, who's the biggest asshole and why is it Mr. Wonderful?
Oh, I wasn't talking shit. I was just being honest. You want me to talk shit about them.
So do you
want
to be honest about your co-host some more?
Yeah, what do you want me to say? I mean, Cuban thinks he knows it all. Robert is Gomer Pyle. Barbara doesn't take her meds. I don't know. You know, Kevin O'Leary is the kiss of death. Pyle. And yeah. Whatever.
I love it.
Have you seen what's his name, Mr. Wonderful, playing guitar on TikTok?
I don't, because he's my Uber driver. He's sitting outside. He just got here. I just got here. It takes some time. You know, he can't put the big guitar in the front seat with the driver.
Oh,
the steering
my
wheel.
God. Oh, okay.
Beautiful.
on that note, Thank you so much again. We really, really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
This has been very informative, very educational, very fun. We love it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for what you're doing. I appreciate you, man. Hey, when your book comes out, if you're doing it for kids, let me know. Let me sling it out, too, and get some people to know that it's not just me out here. It's many of us who want to help.
Oh, hell yeah.
Kids.
Okay. Okay. So long.
Got it.
Thanks.
Bye.
This week on After Hours.
Why are you saying it like I don't know where Buzzy is?
God damn it. What's going on in my brain?
I'm going to have to check your dating profiles.
Can you? Don't. I can show you right now.
I'd like to see it.
You want to see?
Sign up on tmgstudios.tv to watch the full bonus episode.